Christian greetings to our dear brothers and sisters in the Lord. We greet you in the name of Jesus, the one who has made it possible for us to be saved and to be his children. And I was blessed to be with the youth group this morning and the brethren concerning the resurrection. The resurrection. Taking that trip to glory somehow. God has it all planned. We don't need a plane. And so I'm glad to be here. And I greet all those, even those that are maybe watching from afar off. I'm I don't know. Little Amish boy that grew up in Christ Jesus because of his love for me, and that we have that promise, as it says in Revelations, with white robes and palms in their hands. And these are they which came out of great tribulation. Well, sometimes I wonder, where was the tribulation? Well, we had problems, yes, we did, and struggles and so forth, but God was always there, and he is here. The one, the Son of Righteousness, is here this morning, and we are in his presence. He has promised that where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be in the midst of them. Do we really believe that? And as Brother, I've got a problem with names sometimes, Philip, he shared his testimony, and how many of us have traveled the same road that he did, but came out because of Christ and his love and his cleansing blood? And so, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes. Washed their robes. And made them white in the blood of Jesus. That transition, coming out of the out of our own selves and opening our own selves, and we overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and loved not their lives unto the death. Have we really surrendered all? Have we really given all? And as Peter says, if ye are reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. So we praise God for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. So we have that blessed hope beyond the grave. And this morning again, we have a nice sunny morning. Spring is here. We see the new life in the grass and the trees and the shrubs and the flowers. That is God. And he is the one who has made the singing of the birds. The martins are back again, singing for us and just chattering away. And the smell of the blossoms, and we realize the joy, with joy, that spring is here again. God knew, and that's why he made four seasons, I believe, is because he knew we like change. Sometimes we think we wish it would just be like one, but God has great love for us. And spring, we observe, you know, this, and we really appreciate it, and it is God, and it reminds us of the faithfulness of God. He is faithful, and he does not let us down. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat and summer and winter, and day and night, you know, it just keeps on going. It shall not cease. until that day when the trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first. There will be quite something going on out here in the cemetery, won't it? The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that are alive and remain shall be gathered and go up to heaven, our eternal abode. And, of course, the passing of these seasons, God kept his word, and we want to keep our word. We want to abide in him. And it reminds us of this springing into life. And we can gauge ourselves as well. And that this life springs from death. You know, the way it looked, that these trees were all barren and dry and nothing, no leaves and anything. But, you know, the Lord said in, in Matthew, 24? Except the corn of wheat get into the ground and die, it will abide alone. You know, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Maybe that was in John. I think that was in John, though. And then he said unto all those that were with him, where he was preaching there, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me daily. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life shall save it. So, for Christ's sake, we'll save it. And then it reminds us that through the power of God, death is merely a gateway to that new life. And so, there's so many things to preach about. And, you know, if a man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things become new. And as Philip mentioned this morning, the devil is out there to cripple us. The devil is out there to lead us astray. Anything that he, and like one of the brethren mentioned in our class, he said, the devil observes you. He observes us. And he never misses an opportunity to catch us in our weak points, in our weak moments. And so let's be strong in the Lord and the power of his might and not be a cripple. I will continue on into a message that was laid on my heart. I have a big book at home of devotionals, and I'm going to share some of that from that devotional. Some of this. There are two kinds of cripples. There are two kinds of cripples. And I'm going to, if you want a title, that you can use that for a title, but I want you to turn with me to John chapter 9, verse 1. Now, Jesus was very, very interested there were a lot of cripples in his time and day, in time of life when he was here, and he healed those crippled people. Some of them were, one was laying there at the pool of Bethesda. He couldn't walk. He was very slow. And yesterday I met a man that I had to think of that. Well, this guy couldn't walk. He was laying there. But this guy yesterday, he walked about like this here. I figured, well, wow, it's going to take him a long time to get over to me. He wanted to talk to me. And so here we are. We're able to walk around. We're able to get to, if we get in a hurry, we run. Even though I'm not supposed to run with my knees, but anyhow, it feels so good. And this man was laying there. And Jesus came to him and he says, would you like to be saved? Would you like to be healed? Oh, he says, he was crippled. He couldn't walk. And this man said, and I didn't even give you the verses on that, but search for them yourselves. And So anyhow, and then he says, well, whenever this water in this pool of Bethesda was moved, an angel came and stirred up the waters. And the first person that was getting into the waters could be healed. And he says, well, I can't go. I can't get up and go like that. If somebody helps me, before I get there, others get in. And so Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. Take up your bed and go home. And he got up and walked. The crippled man was walking, and he was so thankful. And then in John 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Isn't that something? Now, we have other sick people, and you wonder, why do they have to get sick? Why do they have to be in an accident and get a broken leg or something like that? But God has a way to work in us to bring his glory out. So neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest. Is God doing some work in you and me that would manifest the goodness of God, the power of God? Or are we crippled? Is there someone here that is crippled? We'll have some more of that later on. And so he says in verse 4 here, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made a clay of spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, and which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Wow. What a glorious thing to happen. He could see. And sometimes it's that way in our lives. Even in our spiritual walk, sometimes we get kind of blinded. We don't really see things the way God wants us to see them. But it's when we get over that, when we settle down and we get rid of self, well, it's all right. We can agree, and as Brother Norman mentioned in the prayer room, that we need to be of one mind, one heart, and work together, walk together, love each other. And God has such a great love for us. I appreciated the testimonies of the youth. God bless you for that, and may you continue with that attitude and that desire, that longing to really be in Christ Jesus. Remember how John Lapp shared this one evening when he was here, the last time maybe, being in Christ and he in us. We can walk together and have a joyous life even with the trials and troubles that we face. But Jesus is working the works of him that sent me. And this man came back, he could see. And the neighbors, therefore, in verse 8, the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. He knew who he was. And I suppose he was so overjoyed and couldn't hardly apprehend everything that he saw. If he was born blind, he never saw the light. Therefore they said unto him, how were thine eyes open? And this is the testimony of this blind man. He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? And he says, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that afore was blind, and it was on the Sabbath. On the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, I washed, and do see. Therefore, some said of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Now here we get into the other kind of cripple. This cripple was healed. He was healed. He was blind. And there's another story later on I want to read as well in the Bible here. And so here were the Pharisees. They wanted to know, who is this guy? Who is this guy? He's not of God. He wouldn't do this on Sunday. Well, Jesus said, is it wrong to do good on the Sabbath? If we read on here, and there's quite a reading, but we'll drop back to verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. See, the Pharisees just cast him out of the church. He must have been in the church, but they cast him out anyhow. And they asked his parents, and his parents said, hey, and like I said, I'm using my own words there. He's of age. You ask him. That was in verse 23. And so they called him again. And he was convinced that this man is of God. God is the only one that can do that. So when he heard him, he found him, and he said unto him, doest thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus, for judgment, said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are ye blind also? Are we blind also? Excuse me. They were getting the idea that he's talking about them. And Jesus said to them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. They were crippled. They had crippled hearts. They were cripples. And then now we'll pass over to Acts. Acts chapter 3. And of course we have another one here. Now this man wasn't blind, but he was sitting there. The beggar was sitting there at his usual place, and he wanted alms. And that's where they found him here. And now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none. But," he said, "such as I have, I give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." I can, in a sense, just feel for this man. He couldn't walk, but then he got up. He says, he took his hand, Peter's hand, he says, "Arise." And where was I now? In verse, he took him by the right hand, in verse 7, and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with joy into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was that he which sat at alms at the gate beautiful of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that was called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Peter just got in trouble with the Pharisees, didn't he, then? And verse 12, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, and the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye have delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, and when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." And now, brethren, I want that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And Moses truly said unto the fathers, "A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you." So now we appreciate the power that God used in Peter and John as they approached the man that was seated there in his usual place. And when he said, "Look upon us," he looked at them, but he couldn't get up. So he kind of peered out at them and wondered what was going to happen now. He was waiting expectantly for some gift, some alms. But Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he did, He was leaping and praising. He was healed. And Jesus healed so many other people. I looked at the list of the people that were healed by Jesus and also by Peter and some of the other apostles. It's just amazing. And this was a great miracle. And does God work miracles today yet? Yes, I believe he does. He worked a miracle in you. He worked a miracle in me for us to become children of God and new people in Christ Jesus. They are new people. And the people of Jerusalem were astonished, and they were all talking about it. Well, I suppose we would too. We even talked about these things. Probably very few of you knew that Jason was in the hospital yesterday for about 6 hours of pain, abdomen pain and all that. And the doctor says he can't figure out what it was. You got to go to the emergency. And, well, couldn't we wait till Monday? No, can't. It's something, you know, you better give it some attention. Well, anyhow, prayers went up. And, of course, after 6 hours, they finally said, well, it's just some inflammation in the intestines, and give him a prescription and send him home. Well, praise God. I guess he's here somewhere. I don't know. I don't see him right now. Oh, yeah, I do too. Anyhow, and we praise God. We're just so glad when somebody that is sick is healed. And it's of the Lord. Let us realize that. It's not something that we can heal of ourselves. But God takes over. And, there was a form of lameness in this guy that was crippled. He could walk. But there is a form of lameness. And I'm sharing this from the devotional now. They want to take this. It's not original by me. But there's much worse than useless legs that will not bear one's weight. There is a crippledness that is much more disabling than to be maimed in the body, and that is to be a spiritual cripple. There are two kinds of cripples. And we're going to go further into this these expressions. That is a spiritual cripple, diseased and deformed in one's soul. It can come from rebellion or alienation from God. It may be the wasting malady that results from bitterness in the heart. Feelings that are wrong towards each other. Repressed anger. Feelings of anger towards and bitterness. Unforgiving attitude toward others. To be crippled in the soul is the inability to walk in newness of life as God would have his children to walk. Are there some cripples here this morning that are able to walk and but we can't see it. We can't see in your hearts, but God does. And God wants to heal. God wants to restore any blindness that is among us. God created man in his own image. Through Adam's sin, this image was tarnished. We were crippled. We needed help. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to redeem mankind from the fallen estate and to make him whole again. Glory, hallelujah. We can be made whole. And some of us went through the problems just like Brother Phil mentioned this morning. So we need to realize, I see some of you are sleeping, I think so. Let's stand and sing a verse of song.
Praise to God, immortal praise, for the love that crowned our days. But the source of every joy, let thy praise our tongues employ.
Thank you. Be seated. I like when people are attentive and are sitting there just drinking this in, you know, that God is saved. But anyhow, thank you very much. God created man in his own image, and we were tarnished. We were in a fallen estate. We were in some of my young years, I was a crippled man. I was very active, but I was a crippled man in my soul. And I just thank God. And then we receive spiritual healing. God created man in his own image. But Satan, because of Satan's doings with Adam and Eve, we were crippled. A spiritual healing enables us to walk in love. A spiritual healing enables us to walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. It enables us to walk in honesty as in the day. In Romans 13:13, and to walk in the Spirit so as not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. In Galatians 5:16, which our brother read this morning. And to walk circumspectly, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. There's so much evil going on in our world. Oh, dearly beloved, there's so much, I think I dare say, some evil among our government and all this fighting and stuff that they're going because of the president election that's coming up, if the Lord tarries. And so let us walk circumspectly, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Let us not be talked into things that will cripple us, cripple our soul, and that we cannot even walk with God. And to be healed of one's spiritual lameness through the blood of Christ, it is far greater a miracle than physical healing. For there are indeed two kinds of cripples in the world. Thank God for his healing, for our healing, and having hope, and not depending on us or what we do. We will never get to heaven on our good works, but through God's cleansing and his work in our lives, as we walk with him, we can be healed and have a good walk. And when we die, our bodies will be buried, unless Jesus comes first. Then we can go home. Home, sweet home. Praying for you, the song that we sang. And I trust in my heart you'll go there. Amen. So, there's a poet that has called our attention to this. And I'm going to read this poem. I haven't learned it by heart yet. But anyhow, I'd love to. Two cripples entered a church one day. Crippled, but each in a different way. One had a body strong and whole, but it sheltered a warped and twisted soul. The other walked with a halting gait, but his soul was tall and fair and straight. They shared a bench, they shared a book, but on each face was a different look. One was alight with hope and joy, and faith that nothing could destroy. The other joined not in prayer or hymn. No smile relaxed his features grim. A neighbor had wronged him. His heart was sore. He thought of himself and nothing more. The words that were read from the holy book struck deafened ears and a forlorn look. To one came comfort, his soul was fed. And that's one reason why I like for people to be alert and really drinking in. Because, you know, if we don't listen, if we don't hear, it's not going to do much good. To the one came comfort, his soul was fed. The other gained nothing from what was said. Two cripples left the church that day, crippled, but each in a different way. A twisted foot did one body mar, but a twisted soul is sadder by far. So let us, if there's any crippled joint in our hearts, let's come to Jesus and give it to him. He can heal. He can heal. Thank you for your prayers and your presence and your love to us. Let's kneel for prayer.